There's lots of owies going on. Last weekend, my sister down in Belize ended up spending the weekend in the hospital, which she didn't really want to have to go in the hospital down there. And then they wanted $1,000 up front. The enemy is just attacking from all kinds of sides in a lot of people's lives right now, because there is a big battle that's going on in the spirit world for us individually, within the church, within our principalities and cities and states. Our nation is a mess. The world is on the brink of disaster. But God's on the throne. My Jesus has overcome all. Oh, if it wasn't for Jesus, what hope would we have? Where would we be? Thankful for the work of God in my life. We all need to be thankful for his work in our lives collectively. There needs to be a time of remembrance. I don't have to focus on how nasty I used to be, but I remember times when God brought me through things, and stepwise, day by day, my faith became stronger because I saw the hand of God moving. Just because we see all these things about us doesn't mean that God is not working, because he is. He's working in the hearts and the lives of people. And it's up to us to be in prayer, because our prayers facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people and upon the face of the earth. No one is drawn except that the Spirit draw them. We need to be in conscious effort, understanding that it's the Spirit that moves. And it's the Spirit that touches people's lives and convicts us of sin. It reproves the world of darkness and filthiness and weirdness. There's some stuff that's in a category all by itself out there. But Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the one. And he was willing to submit himself unto the will of the Father on our behalf. Father, we come before you this morning and just ask that you speak to all of us by your Spirit. Confirm some things within our hearts. We look unto you as the author and the finisher of our faith. In us there is no good thing, but in Jesus there is. Because if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in us, then he's going to quicken or make alive even our mortal bodies. We thank you for that work in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I'm going to be speaking out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, unless I go somewhere else. Not exactly set in stone, but pretty close. And I want to read verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What's that saying? We're all dying. From the moment we were born, we were in a process of death. Though our outward man, this fleshly man, this body that we walk in, is in the process of perishing, but yet our faith can be in the fact that our inward man is being renewed day by day. And that is where that we grow, is day by day by day. Once in a while, somebody runs into a situation where there's a leap and a bound, but that's not usually the way it takes place. It usually takes place a little bit at a time. A stepwise progression. Our faith grows unto the Christ and unto the understanding of everything that was accomplished on that cross on our behalf. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. There's no good thing in the flesh of mankind. When left to their own devices, they get weirder and weirder and weirder. They're in that category. Some just like, so far, if we, you know, we can't even comprehend how in the world did this get to this place. So I want to go back more towards the first part of this chapter and start in verse 6. There we go. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light, people, some speakers have referred to this lately. Lately, I mean like in the last couple months. Light is stronger than darkness. Doesn't matter how dark it is outside, you strike a single match, and in some areas of the world where it's relatively clear out, if that match is a mile away, you can see it. That one little flicker is stronger than the darkest night. Therefore, that light that is within us, within you and within me, needs to be burning. Let it be burning, burning, burning. Am I going to that singing mode again? You know, this little light of mine, we're going to let her shine. Do not hide it under anything or inside of anything or out of sight of anything, because through Christ, we become the light unto the world. Jesus is the author of that light, but He works through each individual person to present that light of His glory in the face of darkness. And we have been called out of darkness into that kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus. Therefore, it's our responsibility to be presenting the light of the gospel, the light of truth, the light of correctness, the light of the real law, which is that new covenant that we celebrated here even this morning. The new covenant not being made by stones and fires and the killing and the slaying of critters, but it's based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. That is where our faith lies. We put our faith in anything else, it's just works, and it usually doesn't work out quite the way you think it might. We need to be seeking the Lord. That's what He's talking about. Take up your cross daily. That cross is of submission. I will submit to the cross of Jesus. I will lay aside my desire. I will lay aside my want. I will lay aside my arrogance, my pride, and look unto Him. He's the only one that has the real answers. And one day He's coming back, and there will be peace. All the efforts of man are going to fail. It will look like that there's a glimmer of hope, but it will fail. And not until Jesus returns, then it will be by the Prince of Peace. Wow. Light is stronger than darkness. It shined in our hearts, and therefore it needs to shine outward from us. We have that knowledge residing within us concerning the glory of God. And what does the glory of God mean? To each one of us, it may be a little bit particular. This is how God has manifested himself towards me and in my life. Many, the glory of God is because of healing. To others, it's because of being able to overcome drugs and or alcohol. To others, the glory of God may be manifest in healed relationships. But the glory of God will manifest itself to each one of us in its own way as the Holy Spirit moves. And I want it all. I don't want to know just healing. I don't want to know just stability. I don't want to know just sanity. I don't want to know just the joy. I want it all. I want all of what he has to offer and to be able to see clearly the complete picture of the glory of God. And all of this is expressed in Jesus Christ. All of the manifestation of the glory of God was presented in the life of Jesus. From the time he was born, when he began his ministry on earth, the relationships between peoples, the parables that he spoke, the teachings that he taught, the prayer with the Father in the garden. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do this, but it's not up to me. It's not my will, but what you would will. Submitting unto the will of the Father, he went forth, submitted himself to that cross for you and for me. As a result, there is no other name under heaven whereby that men must be saved. There's not two ways or three ways or half a dozen. As long as we sit together and sing Kumbaya, we'll be okay. No, it's by Jesus. The only way. There's no other name. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. There's a treasure within us. To those who have been born of the Spirit and are part of the kingdom of God, there is a treasure within you. Each one of you, there is a treasure. You need to remind yourself of that every day. Too many people want to focus on the fact that I'm just a... Oh, boy. Anybody here a couple Wednesdays ago? We focus on the fact of what we were, and we look at that life, and we have dread. That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Satan wants to take us back to that place and condemn us again and try to get us to relive our failures in our minds, so that's what our focus is, rather than our overcoming in Jesus. Revelations, it says that they overcame him by the word of their testimony, whether that testimony is spoken out verbally or whether it's resounding within my mind and within my heart, they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. I will profess Jesus. And this is done unto the glory of the Father. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of what? Of God, not of us. Whatever that we do, we need to be seeking, Lord, less of me and more of you. Take me out of the picture, and I want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord so that I can walk in that knowledge, walk in that direction, in that pathway, circumspectly before a holy God. We're going to make mistakes. Just repent and get over it. People want, oh, I goofed up. Yeah, you goofed up. Just take it to Jesus, repent, and go on. Is that God? He's calling today. Well, what a Savior. There's a treasure in us, the express image in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Says, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express or the exact or the only image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sit down on the right hand of the majesty on high, saying, it's finished, it's done. It's taken care of. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. When that burden wants to come back, you rebuke it. Satan, you filthy liar. You always were a liar. You were a murderer from the beginning, and you're not going to have my mind. That's why we have to have our mind stayed on Jesus. Like I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. It needs to stay there in that place, and when we feel it oozing away and going down some rabbit trail somewhere, you got to get a hold of it. Say, I will bring it back into the confirmation, conformity, according to the Word of God. I will not allow the enemy to steal my joy, to rob me of happiness, peace, faith, sanity. I refuse to give in to fear. I refuse to give in to depression. I refuse to give in to anxiety. But I look unto God because He's the one that is doing the work on my behalf. I've been in these places, so it's not terrible dark depression. Thinking about killing myself every half a minute. But Jesus overcame. Look unto Him. It has to be a constant thing, because as this world gets darker and darker, we're going to have to be able to express the light that is within us and allow it to shine. Yes, to the world, but also to us. I'm going to have to get to a point where I can self-feed. Be able to be in the Word. We may not always be able to meet together like this. Some of you that are young enough, there may come a time when this kind of assembly is outlawed. Anybody believe that? The Word says it. You better be ready for it. But before the worst of the worst happens, we're going to be out of here. It's going to be a light that shines from the east to the west. And in the twinkling of an eye, we don't get to go first. The dead do first. The graves are going to be opened. They're going to be resurrected in a new body. Boy, I want one of them babies. I want one after the fashion of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want a new body. I want new joints. I want all my brain power. We're only functioning on about 10% because of the fall. That's even a scientific fact. They don't know what people do with all the rest of that. But there's a limitation that's been placed there. At the time when God confused the languages, he said, I'm going to have to do this because the thoughts of men, you guys all working together and trying to figure things out, you're just too weird. You know? So I'm going to have to confuse the languages, split you up a little bit. Excellence is of God. It's the goodness of God. It's not by me or by you. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, wow, he's doing good today. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Apostle Paul is taking this reference from Psalms chapter 14 and verse 3. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Therefore, in my mind, I think, well, I do want to do some good things. Well, at least, see, we have the source to be able to do good and from a right place. From the right place that worketh within me, that works within us. I have that ability to do good, but it's going to have to be according to the Word of God. Not by my own thoughts, not by my own imaginations, but according to the Word of God, based on truth. And in that excellency of who He is and this expressed image that is put forth, then I have half a chance. I just got to get rid of me. Got to lay it down. Didn't you preach about that or something? How many members that? Oh, come on. Even in my little phone, whenever there's services, I got this little, how many got that little yellow pad thing, you know, in their phone, you know? How many have ever used it? Yeah, you can use that. It's okay. I put in there what the date is, who's speaking, what the major scriptures are that they spoke from, even if there's a couple of points that really spoke to me. And then later in a week, or maybe even several weeks, I start going through them, and I start reading this stuff and experiencing that again, see. To meditate upon what is being taught and preached, even in this assembly, is important. Because it will begin to work in our life and to increase the faith within us to be able to understand the Word of God as it's being presented. And we want to try to figure things out in ourselves. He said, just lay it down. Get rid of it. We are troubled on every side. How many feels like that some days? Yeah, up and down and back and forth and in the front and in the back and on each side and in my brain. We're troubled on every side. We're back to verse 8 there in 2 Corinthians 4. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
were perplexed, but not in ultimate despair. It's not that we're going to not feel things, because we're made as we are made, and we have emotions as people. But we don't have to stay in that place. We don't have to stay in distress or despair. We get out of it. Self-feed. Self-feed. Self-watering. If you grow a lot of plants, you got these little doohickeys where it can dribble water. You could even put some stuff in the water, and so it just gives a drop or two here and there. I've built a few hydroponic systems, like when I was out in North Dakota. They wanted to see, I want an example. I want to see how this thing works, you know. So I grew some tomatoes, and we had summer squash. Man, the leaves on them things are huge things, you know. Green peppers. Had quite a few herbs, stuff like that. And you can grow it in just water. But you have to have nutrients in that water. And when the nutrients start getting out of balance, you will see it in the plant. And if your nutrients are not considered in your daily walk, you'll get out of balance. Your leaves may start turning brown. They may start turning yellow. They may start curling up at the ends. You may get blossom end rot on your tomatoes if you don't have enough calcium. Whatever the case is, there has to be a balance in the nutrients. And if you're not getting nutrients on a daily basis, your leaves are going to curl. Anybody had a curled leaf? Maybe they turn brown. Maybe they fall off. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Which takes us to Romans 8, verse 11. I believe that I referred to that earlier. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I need to get in touch with that thing. Yes, we may feel things on every side. I mean, it's crazy. My brother's in the hospital. Got cancer. Blah, blah, blah. My mom's got to go in the hospital. She's at a point where her pancreas was starting to shut down because of imbalance. My sister's in the hospital. A few times in the last couple of months, I didn't feel so good. I thought, what now? We can be distracted. But God has made a way where there seems to be no way. But God has provided. When they were backed up against the Red Sea, they said, there's no way, we're going to give up. They got the Red Sea on one side, they got the armies on the other side, and there was like a big mushed sandwich of death in the middle. But God provided a way. I still got time left. Back to verse 11 now. Chapter 4 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up, that's back in Romans. I want chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verse 11. There we go. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Jesus experienced this death, giving up of his earthly dwelling to make a more perfect dwelling for us to reside in. I hurt in my body. Some days it's like, oh, man. And I get frustrated. I was going to pick on Frank this morning, and he skipped. How many know what I'm talking about? Some days it just hurts. But we have to have the understanding that I'm in a process of dying. And yes, we go before the Lord and we pray for healing, but there's some things we just can't overcome, and that is the sinful nature of man and the process that it put upon mankind. For in the beginning, it wasn't mankind that created the heaven and the earth. It wasn't some miraculous explosion that took place. It wasn't an evolutionary process. It was God. But when man sinned, God said, "You're gonna die." Well, he didn't die that moment. Physically, they lived. In fact, they lived a long time back then. But there was still a process that was put into place. It was appointed unto every one of us, unto every man, wants to die. Then comes what? What's that? The judgment. Every one of us, if the earth lasts long enough and Jesus tarries, well, it's not up to Jesus, it's up to the Father. If the Father waits long enough, every one of us is going to face death. You can look at the one sitting next to you. And this is harsh, but you may have to face their death. And that hurts. But to those that are of the family of God, there's a blessed hope. We have that hope of the resurrection. But to think, you know, it's really hard when you're 16, 17, 18, 20 years old to think about, we think in terms I'm infallible, nothing's going to happen to me, you know, I got a long life ahead. But man, once you get over that magical hill they talk about and become part of the Over the Hill gang, it gets more real. It becomes more in your face. And I'm going to have to face this at some point in time. Love my mama dearly. She'll be 90 this coming summer. It isn't going to last forever. That's us in this earthly flesh. Oh, wow. So then he says in verse 12, so then death works in us, but then he's talking to them and he says, but life in you. Death in our mortal bodies is guaranteed. But there's life in every one of us. And a growing hope.
and it grows and it manifests itself. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I speak concerning my understanding of the Word of God and the experiences that I've had in my life and the experiences that I have seen in other people. I hope Johnny shares some really good stuff when he comes Wednesday night. I remember his dad, one of the last times I visited with him, he said, Paul, that was really fantastic. He said, we finally got an opportunity to get up this really small stream that we had wanted to go into this area for many, many years. He had somebody with him that was a little bit familiar with the tribes that were up there. And as they get there, and they dock the boat on the river's edge, and they begin to walk up to the village, there was an old man sitting there by a hut. And he looked at John, and he said, you finally got here. I saw a vision of you 17 years ago. And in the vision, it told me that there is a man coming that's going to tell you about the truth of life. Oh, my. My hairs are sticking up. And particularly the stories of missionaries, because to a large extent, they really sacrificed their life and their comfort that they could be here for doing the work of the Lord. Not that we don't, because we do. And each one of you has your own specific mission field that you move in. But begin to walk in the face of God. The faith that He has begun working in you. He has begun this work, and He has promised that He will accomplish it. He will bring it unto maturity. Some of us struggle with that, don't we? We think, man, I don't see anything happening. I ain't raised anybody from the dead today yet. Work and give glory and thanks for the things that He has done in your life. And begin, just continue to move. Continue to work according to His power. We have the same spirit of faith according to it is written, I believed, and therefore I'm going to speak it out. Speak what I believe. In Psalms it says, I love the Lord because He had heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. You don't give up. You don't say, well, I'm comfortable enough the way I am. No, as long as we live, we will press in unto Him. The sorrows of death come past me, the psalmist wrote, and the pain of hell got a hold upon me, and I found trouble and I found sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Yeah. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul from this madness. I put that in. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Wow. And then at the end of, towards the end of the chapter in verse 10, it's where he says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. But it was God that brought me out. God brought me through it. He is my deliverer. I look unto Him for my strength. Wow.
Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14 now. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many resound to the glory of God. For which cause we don't faint, we don't give up, we don't quit. But through our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's see what Isaiah has to say about that. Chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And this is really a cool verse. A couple verses. Unto whom is it that he's going to teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those that are weaned off of the milk and have gotten away from the breast, not having to rely on that anymore. Remember the church Paul was frustrated with? He says, I wanted to come there and I wanted to teach you depth and doctrine. And here I got to go back to the beginning again with you. Laying aside that stuff, move on and expect God to reveal unto you the wonders and the mysteries of the glory of God. Not being satisfied with the little bit that I know now, but I want to know more. I want to understand more in the teachings and in the doctrines that are between the pages of the Word of God. And to make it manifest in my life so it becomes alive, it becomes a rhema unto me. For precept, this is the good one, must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. As I said earlier, it's not usually by huge bounds. It's line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Teaching upon teaching. Doctrine upon doctrine. Idea upon idea. Concept upon concept. Parable upon parable. Truth upon truth. Here a little, there a little. Allow it to continue the daily work in our life. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, man, we think, oh man, I've had a long life. I can tell by how bad it hurt. But it's just a moment. It's just a snap of a finger in the overall scope of things. It's but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. It's just for right now. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that thing that is going on inside of each and every one of us, that is eternal.
The work that God is doing within each person here is forever. It will not be taken away. It can't be snatched away. The work that God does within us is perfect. We look at ourselves and we don't see perfection, but He is not working on the outside. He's working on the inner man. And then, with time and patience, it begins to affect the outer man. It's like an onion. Things start to peel away. If you faint not. God is working in you. God loves every one of you here. And even when it's hard to see it, He is moving upon the waters of your heart. In the beginning, when He created the waters, and it said, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Expect God to move upon the waters of your heart to a point where we can get all shook up. I want more of You, Lord. I truly want to see much less of me. I want to see more of Jesus. And it's a struggle sometimes, but God has it under control. And to understand that in our bodies, we struggle. But in your spirit, you can be alive in Him. Because of the Word, you can be thoroughly enjoined. Thoroughly lifted up. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord. How many want more of Jesus? It needs to be a priority, not just a passing, fleeting thought or just a hope. It needs to be a priority. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. Remember? I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. We got to get out of the way. I give it to You, Jesus. I'm going to lay it down. And I will resist the temptation to go back and to pick it up. I've talked before at different times. We go to the cross and we lay our burdens there. Whatever that nasty thing is, we're doing pretty good. And then we're tempted to go back and pick that thing up and pet it and squeeze it and hug it. Kiss it. We got to get to a point in our mind, I'm going to leave, put down there on the foot of that cross, and I'm going to leave that thing there, and I'm not going to go back and pick it up any longer, because Jesus is working it out in me. He's moving in and through me. He's working on my stature, and He's bringing me from glory to glory to glory. And I don't have to be satisfied with where I am, because it's the power of God unto righteousness to change me, to make me meet for the Master's use. Glory. Let's stand together. And when I'm done here, if anybody is wanting specific prayer, you come on down here. We'll have some folks pray over you. Holy Ghost might even get a hold of you. You never know. Father, we do thank you for your word. We're thankful that at the root of all things, for those that are of the household of faith, that you have our best interests at heart. And that you are working things out in our life. And that as you reveal things to us, and we begin to give them to you, that you're faithful and you're just to forgive us of all that unrighteous stuff. And that you're in heaven as our heavenly advocate. And when that enemy, the devil, wants to come before and accuse us, Jesus, you're our heavenly attorney. And you're defending on our behalf, and you say, oh, just wait a minute. My blood has covered those sins. Thank you for these precious people here this morning, Lord. Allow that you can continue to work in our lives. Continue to manifest yourself through us, that we become the light of the world in a dark world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.